Good morning, everyone. I want to greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I enjoyed the service thus far. This morning, I'm going to be sharing a message. A message on faith. Second, the last song that you sang out there says, God hath not promised that we'll have a perfect path. But what God did promise is that if we have faith in Him and His leading, He will help us walk through that. This morning I have to admit to you here this morning, it brings me a little bit of fear to be up front here this morning. It's not because of the responsibility of just standing up here, but the fact that I have to share the Word of God with you this morning. We had the opportunity here to hold the greatest book that was ever written. It gives the history and it gives us lessons on how to show us how to obtain the keys of eternal life. It almost brings a bit of fear as we dig into it. Are we portraying it correctly to others? All of you here have a story. I know little tidbits of your stories. I definitely don't know all your stories. But you all have a life that you're living. You all have a different valley and a different mountain that you may be facing in your life. A different one that you're called to face. For a text this morning, we're going to be looking at the John chapter 20. Phil called me one morning, and I was talking with him, and I shared what I was going to be possibly preaching about. What always amazed me, he can rattle off verses on top of his very quickly from memory. And he had another text. He was actually quoted some other verses that I was actually going to use then, but then I got changed over to this passage here. This morning I'm going to ask you to try to put yourself back in time. We're jumping into a story of Jesus over a time of his crucifixion. We have advantage that those that living in the time of Jesus did not. And that advantage is that we can see the whole picture of the story from back then. But also, I feel it can be almost a disadvantage also. We read the stories in the Bible and we can see exactly how God worked in their life. And we look at those stories and we say, wow, isn't it just amazing how God worked it out for them? And we start to wonder why the people in these stories even question the power and who God really was. We then look at our own life and become frustrated and discouraged because we can't see everything that God is doing. And we forget that we need to see the whole picture to see what God has totally done in our life. We can't look at just the here and now. I know it's hard to block out the rest of the story, but try to put yourself there. And the people in this story did not know what the end would look like. They only saw what was right in front of them. We're jumping into a story that the world is all stirred up over a man named Jesus. There was those that were saying that he was the Son of God. There was those that were saying he was a prophet. And there was those that were just saying he's a crazy man and blaspheming the name of God. It was a time of unrest in the land and a time that the Jews were looking for a king to come and rescue them from the Roman rule. But we see a man named Jesus coming and preaching and telling everyone that he has the answers to all their problems. And this all created that much of a stir that those that hated him, they wanted to kill him. And it finally came to a point that they did get their wish and they laid hands on him and crucified him. And the ones that believed in Jesus had to be shocked. They thought he was all powerful. Jesus told them that he would die and rise again, but I would say that probably most of them could not even comprehend the thought of their Lord dying. Their Lord raised others from the dead, so surely he should keep himself alive. And this was supposed to be the Savior that came to rescue them from their political situation that they were living in. But when they saw their Lord crucified, fear set in. This wasn't to be happening. This wasn't in the plans. This wasn't the outcome that they expected. How are we going to survive? Their future looked bleak, and they were facing a mountain like no other. How many times in our life we have a picture of what we think our life should be and how we think it's all going to play out? But things come up, hard times come, and we say, Lord, this wasn't supposed to be, and we lose faith in what God is guiding us in. We lose faith that he knows what he's doing. And we become afraid. But this wasn't the end of the story. And after 3 days, our Lord arose again. And this brings us to our passage today. By this time, Jesus' followers were living in fear because they did not know what was happening to their Lord. And they were also afraid for what the unbelieving Jews may do to them. They saw what they did to Jesus, and they had to be terrified that they would be the next ones to hang on a cross if they stood up for what Jesus stood for. I'm going to jump in at verse 19 in chapter 20 of John. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. We can see the disciples and others that were there gathered with them are still very human. We see that they shut the door. They were all there together because of the fear of what the Jews may do to them. We could say Where is their faith that God would take care of them? They just witnessed the crucifixion of their Lord and the resurrection 3 days earlier. 3 days later. And they just witnessed the prophecy unfolding before their very eyes. And they also had the opportunity to walk and talk one-on-one with the Lord of this world. But yet, they were hiding in fear. They lost the faith that God will take care of them, and fear settled in. And it challenged me as I wondered, how many times do I have fear, but I forget to cry out to the God that we can cry out, and He will hear us every single time. When we have faith in God's power and protection, it will limit the amount of fear we will have. But I ask, would I have been any different than these people here? Would have I stayed strong in my faith that everything would be okay? We all face scary things in this world. Would I have stayed? You look at the world around us, and it's going down at alarming rates. It's going downhill. It's getting worse and worse. The world is pressing on our freedoms that we have. It looks scary, and we become afraid of what our children will have to face in their lifetime. And you ask, Lord, have you forgotten us? Why are you letting this to happen? Are you even aware of what's going on? When we start to question God, our faith goes downhill. And when our faith goes down, the only thing is to fill it with self. The temptation is to lose faith that God is in control, and when doing so, we become filled with fear because we know that we cannot protect ourselves. We see Jesus say, "Peace be unto you." When we have faith in our Lord, we allow ourselves to see Him move around us, and it brings peace and stability to our lives like no other. Jumping back in here, verse 20, it says, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed unto them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit them unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain them. They are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples there said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe. In verse 25, we see Thomas doubting what the others said unto Jesus. Said about Jesus. He lost the faith and said the very thing that many around us say today. The people around us today says, "Unless you can show me evidence that I can touch and feel, I will not believe." The world is telling us that we need physical proof to believe that God is real. They say that they would need to see God in person to believe. We too can get called up in the world's need for proof. We're not exempt from it. Maybe you are. But there's too many times I need proof of things. We're living in a society of show me, then I believe. The world is questioning how the earth was created. Whether the earth is flat or not. And every time there's a natural catastrophe, they say the government is conspiring against them and causing it to control the population. Everything seems like a conspiracy theory in this world anymore. The absolutes have become the things you question, and everyone becomes untrustworthy and a suspect. But living in this mindset, they isolate themselves and live in fear and try to make it on their own. Are we caught up in the world's unbelief? Have we lost the faith? It's not wrong to desire to physically see Jesus. That is not the problem. But if we start to discredit everything because we can't see it, that is where the problem starts. We may say that we will never do that. That is far from us. But why can we get caught up in all the so-called conspiracies of this world? Is it because we like to debate and like a good argument? Or have we started to lose faith in God's ultimate control within our lives and what God is working in our communities today to bring out His ultimate plan? And in thinking about the world's desire to that, you know what? They discredit everything in the Bible because they can't touch and feel it. They say, "Show me proof of this." And my mind was drawn back to the rich man in hell. He requested that Abraham would send Lazarus back as a witness to his family so they would finally believe. Luke 16:27, going to read a few verses. "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If you hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, the one arose from the dead." Unless we have the heart that has a faith of God, with the faith that God exists, we will not recognize him, even if we have physical proof. We look around us and say, Lord, show us a sign that you are still in control. But if our heart is right, we will not notice it. God is doing all kinds of miraculous works around us if we're willing to see it. Found it interesting looking at Thomas. And Thomas was very open with where he was. He did not hide the fact that he was struggling to believe. He did not put on a false front. Are you and I open with our brothers here today, or sisters today, on where you really are? Are you open with the struggles that you're facing with? Are you open? Can you take courage to share so that the others can help you? Thomas wasted no time on letting them know where he was in his unbelief. By Thomas being open about it, it did not make it right. But I do believe that by him being real and honest where he was spiritually, it prepared him to see Jesus in the coming days. Verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Just imagine what was going on in Thomas's mind right now. Jesus said the exact words that Thomas said just 8 days earlier. But I think it was a proof to Thomas that, you know, God was right there with him. When he said those words, you know, I'm not going to believe unless I can touch this and put my hand here. And Jesus said exactly what Thomas said. Are we looking for the small things to build our faith? Verse 28 says, "The Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." Jesus was not hard on Thomas for hiding his doubts, despite his skepticism. But Thomas was still loyal to the believers and to Jesus. Some need to doubt before they believe. If doubt leads to questions, and questions lead to answers, and the answers are accepted, then doubt has worked a good work. It's when doubt becomes stubborn, and stubbornness becomes a prideful lifestyle that harms faith. It's when it becomes a problem. But when you doubt, don't stop there. Let your doubt deepen your faith as you continue to search for answers for what God has for your life. We need to be honest of our level of belief or unbelief. You cannot fool our Lord. Each one of us has to come to grips and acknowledge our shortcomings in our faith. Because if we tell ourselves that we have faith, but inwardly we are truly struggling, we will not recognize that we need help. What is your level of faith today? Do you have faith that you're serving the one and true God? Do you have faith that He is in control of everything in your life? Do you have faith that God has your best interests at heart? Do you have faith that God will remove the mountain that is there staring in your face every day and causing you to be discouraged? If you have a mountain bearing down on you today, I say take heart. Because if you have enough of faith, God will take care of that mountain for you. Good, turn to Mark 11 just for a few verses. Can't really talk about faith without including these verses. There's so much. Well, I start to realizing when studying into faith, there's so much in the Bible you could probably talk all day about it. But it's so much part of our lives. There's so many aspects of it, and I was reading through Hebrews 11, and it lists all the different people. By faith, Moses and Abraham and all the different ones right down through. Isaac and Jacob. They all needed faith to get through the hard things that God gave them. But Mark 11:22, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things so ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. I don't think that anyone here has enough of faith. Say, God, remove this mountain, and we all go home driving down 645 on a smooth, straight road. That's not what he is meaning by this. But we can look at this, and almost says, get discouraged, because there is no way that we have that much faith and power to cast the mountain into the sea. This is a figurative example that Jesus was showing to his disciples to illustrate the power that faith has. Like I said in the beginning, we all have mountains we are facing in our lives. The disciples were also facing a mountain. They were afraid that they would be crucified like Jesus. They were afraid what others were thinking about them. Do you have faith that God will remove your mountain? Do you have faith that a prayer to the one and true God can result in your mountain going away? Until you commit your mountain to God, you will continue to hang on to it and focus on it. If you start to look, if you start to lack in faith in God, I challenge you to look back and see what God has faithfully done for you. The faith to remove mountains is obtainable by everyone here today, if you so believe. In order to have faith that God will remove your mountain, you must take self out of the equation. You need to take self out and put God in the driver's seat of your life. You must have faith that He knows your end and He makes no mistakes. You must also have faith that He has the power to help you walk over the mountain. We become discouraged because we look at the mountain ahead of us and we think, how are we ever going to get through that? But God does not always choose to remove the mountain that is in your life. And if He does not remove it, you continue to have faith in His guiding and Him, faith in Him walking beside you, He will, without a doubt, help you walk over and through it. So by God walking right with you through the hard time, He is removing it because otherwise you would not make it on your own. Challenge here for you today. Is your mountain that you're experiencing is not even a small bump in the road for God. And He brings that mountain into your life so that you cry out to Him for help. And if you cry out to Him in faith, He will surely bear you up. I just challenge you today that we continue to not focus on what's right in front of us, but to focus at the whole picture. Because if we only focus what's on in front of us, we will become discouraged. Let's kneel for prayer.